Well, good morning, everybody. We're very pleased to be with you once again. A couple of times in our reading from Colossians, Paul refers to the need for wisdom. In chapter 3, in verse 16, he writes, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." And in chapter 4, and at verse 5, he gives the advice, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time." So prompted by this, I'd like to spend a few minutes thinking about wisdom as we prepare to break bread together. And as we do so, let's try to have in our minds the example of the Lord Jesus, who rose from the tomb to eternal life. And he'd conquered death because of the way that his life had been guided by the wisdom that is from above, never wavering from it. Well, everybody, no doubt, if they believe in God, would say that they would like to have God-given wisdom from above. But relatively few want it on God's terms, and he explains those terms extensively in the book of Proverbs. And I'll be going there quite a bit, beginning in chapter 1 shortly. Because right from the outset, Proverbs makes it clear that wisdom can never be found unless we have a spirit of true reverence for God, just as Jesus did. And Proverbs calls it the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is a fundamental requirement for wisdom. Proverbs 1 verse 7. And I'm using the New King James, by the way. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And other versions have, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom," or "the beginning of understanding," and so on. And by fear is meant respect or reverence, not a feeling of terror, as the word tends to mean in everyday English. We need to begin with a proper reverence for God, an awe for God. And this message is repeated frequently throughout the book of Proverbs. And this wisdom of Proverbs is the basis for much of the teaching about discipleship in the New Testament. But God isn't going to give us this wisdom on a plate just for the mere asking for it, as if it were a Christmas present. Wisdom is only promised to those who eagerly search for it, to those who really want it more than anything else in life, to those who ask God fervently to be led towards it through his word. Just have a look at the message that God gives us in chapter 2 of Proverbs. Verse 1, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So this wisdom isn't for sale. It's not something that we can even acquire through our own research or through our own intelligence. "For the Lord gives wisdom," says Proverbs. And the wisdom that Proverbs describes is a gift of God to those who genuinely desire it. It's something that each one of us should be searching for with all of our hearts. Well, rather than skim through Proverbs looking for snippets about wisdom and about the wise, I'd prefer to concentrate just on one chapter, which is devoted to explaining the practical effects of wisdom, so much so that I regard it as a chapter dedicated to providing a lesson in life. It's the third chapter of Proverbs, in which Solomon gives guidance to his son on how to live his life, having explained to him in chapters 1 and 2 the importance of getting wisdom. So what sort of difference is this wisdom from God supposed to make to the way that we live? What are some of its practical effects? What sort of guidance does God give us to help us to live our lives as men and women who are wise, not foolish? Well, let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 3. It begins with a reminder to follow God's commands and to place God at the centre of our lives. Verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favour and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Notice the advice in verse 3 to let not mercy and truth forsake you, or in the NIV, love and faithfulness. Being truthful or faithful here includes getting rid of any tendency towards hypocrisy or falsehood, of any tendency to put on a facade of religion. If we're only Sunday Christadelphians, doing our own thing for the rest of the week, then we lack the faithfulness or the truth which should have been written on the tablet of our heart. And showing love or mercy means being kind, ridding ourselves of all hatred and selfishness, so that we can show mercy or undeserved love to those who are taxing our patience. And the key to our whole way of life in Christ is found in the next two verses of Proverbs 3. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Well, the knowledge or understanding referred to in Proverbs consists of more than information, facts, and data. It's knowledge that begins with the fear of the Lord. It's therefore godly knowledge that always includes God as the one to whom we should look for truth and for understanding, acknowledging him and trusting him in all our ways. This means being conscious that whatever we do, we should be doing it as if to the Lord, and should be relying on his guidance, seeking understanding about his ways. And the next verse contrasts men's wisdom with the wisdom of God which we're seeking. Verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't be wise or conceited in your own eyes then, sure of your own wisdom, because it isn't our wisdom that can help us. Only the wisdom which comes from a reverence for the Lord. The conceited, self-opinionated man, who's full of his own importance and confident of his own wisdom, is just the sort of person that this world is trying to breed. But instead, trust in and show reverence for the Lord and turn your back on evil. Or does that mean that if we're wise, our lives will be constantly full of material blessings and will run perfectly smoothly without any problems at all? Well, in Proverbs 3, Solomon explains that the wise are to expect to be disciplined by the Lord. Verse 11, My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. So the disciple is told that God, in his love for us, will chasten and correct us to make us better and wiser children. We're then taught that the punishments or the discipline which we suffer lead us to wisdom. And this wisdom is far more desirable than the greatest riches imaginable. Verse 13 of Proverbs 3. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, but all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. So these are all examples of the benefits which come to the man or the woman who seeks the wisdom that God gives. If you look at that list, you'll see that it covers all that you could possibly wish for. A long, good life, riches, honour, pleasure, and peace. In fact, Solomon says, wisdom is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And the wisdom which brings these rewards is clearly far more valuable than precious jewels. And then, after describing to us in verses 19 and 20 the power of God's wisdom by which he created the universe, Solomon provides us with a marvellous description of some more of the practical benefits which come from seeking this wisdom from God, which Solomon defines as sound wisdom and discretion. Verse 21 of chapter 3. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So the promise is that God will look after and watch over those who seek his wisdom. You'll be able to sleep without fear. No need to worry about anything if you are truly seeking his wisdom. And the worry habit is one that we're all guilty of in varying degrees. And in this, as in so many other ways, we show our lack of faith. So let's sum up some of the lessons in life that we've been thinking about. The Old Testament teaching about wisdom underlies much of the New Testament teaching about Christian discipleship. As Paul reminded us in the Colossians reading today, wisdom must be at the core of our belief in Christ and of our walk to the kingdom. He writes in Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And in chapter 4, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. So we should be seeking this wisdom incessantly, crying out to God for it. Not man's wisdom, but the wisdom which comes only from God and which begins with a true reverence for him, fear of the Lord. And we can find it by frequently reading his word. We need to read it every day. And applying this wisdom includes being kind and truthful, not just thinking about it, but being kind and loving to those around us, to our brethren and sisters, and to our neighbours. We mustn't be conceited or wise in our own eyes, but we must be humble, trusting in God to give us strength and guidance to deal with our problems. And there are many practical and spiritual blessings which will come to those who seek wisdom. But whilst the knowledge that God is protecting us should banish all our worries, we need to remember that suffering is inevitable as our Heavenly Father trains us for eternal life. Well, Solomon, through whom God is giving us these lessons in life in the book of Proverbs, may have been the wisest man who had ever lived, but he wasn't perfect. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone off the rails in the way that he did. As we remember this morning, there has only ever been one person who has demonstrated this wisdom in all its perfection. And all of these thoughts lead us to Jesus, who, as he developed into a young man, must have read and absorbed these Proverbs of Solomon as he increased in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. But as we remember Jesus' death and his suffering on the cross, let us remember that he fully understood the need for suffering and for discipline, and that through his perfection, through his application of wisdom in all that he did, we have the hope of eternal life. Jesus is truly the wisest man ever to have lived on earth, and he showed that wisdom by devoting every waking moment of his life to doing his Father's will. And we know that he is shortly to return to display his wisdom in ruling this world in peace and righteousness. And we remember his death with profound sadness, humbled by the thought that our sins are so abhorrent to God that only the death of his dearly beloved Son could provide salvation for us. Yet at the same time, we can rejoice in the knowledge that the tomb is empty, and in God's grace we shall soon enjoy the presence of our Saviour. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brother Derek.